Chapter 10 Margaret pulled the covers up to her chin. She realized she was trembling, her whole body shaking and chilled. She held her breath and listened. She could still hear water splashing into the bathroom sink, but no footsteps. "He isn't coming after me," she told herself, letting out a long, silent sigh. "How could I have thought that? How could I have been so terrified of my own father?" Terrified. It was the first time the word had crossed her mind. But sitting there in bed, trembling so violently, holding on to the covers so hard, listening for his approaching footsteps, Margaret realized that she was terrified of her own father. If only Mom were home, she thought. Without thinking, she reached for the phone. She had the idea in her head to call her mother, wake her up, tell her to come home as fast as she could, tell her something terrible was happening to Dad, that he was changing, that he was acting so weird. She glanced at the clock. 2:43. No, she couldn't do that. Her poor mother was having such a terrible time in Tucson trying to care for her sister. Margaret couldn't frighten her like that. Besides, what could she say? How could she explain to her mother how she had become terrified of her own father? Mrs. Brewer would just tell her to calm down, that her father still loved her, that he would never harm her, that he was just caught up in his work. Caught up. He had leaves growing out of his head. He was eating dirt, and his blood was green. Caught up. She heard the water in the sink shut off. She heard the bathroom light being clicked off. Then she heard her father pad slowly to his room at the end of the hall. Margaret relaxed a little, slid down in the bed, loosened her grip on the blankets. She closed her eyes and tried to clear her mind. She tried counting sheep. That never worked. She tried counting to 1,000. At 375, she sat up. Her head throbbed. Her mouth was as dry as cotton. She decided to go downstairs and get a drink of cold water from the refrigerator. I'm going to be a wreck tomorrow, she thought, making her way silently through the hall and down the stairs. It is tomorrow. What am I going to do? I've got to get to sleep. The kitchen floor creaked beneath her bare feet. The refrigerator motor clicked on noisily, startling her. Be cool, she told herself. You've got to be cool. She had opened the refrigerator and was reaching for the water bottle when a hand grabbed her shoulder. "Aye!" she cried out and dropped the open bottle onto the floor. Ice-cold water puddled around her feet. She leaped back, but her feet were soaked. "Casey, you scared me!" she exclaimed. "What are you doing up?"
"What are you doing up?"
he replied, half asleep, his blonde hair matted against his forehead. "I couldn't sleep. Help me mop up this water."
"I didn't spill it," he said, backing away. "You mop it up."
"You made me spill it," Margaret declared shrilly. She grabbed a roll of paper towels off the counter and handed him a wad of them. "Come on, hurry." They both got down on their knees and by the light from the refrigerator began mopping up the cold water.
"I just keep thinking about things," Casey said, tossing a soaking wad of paper towel onto the counter. "That's why I can't sleep."
"Me too," Margaret said, frowning. She started to say something else, but a sound from the hallway stopped her. It was a plaintive cry, a moan filled with sadness. Margaret gasped and stopped dabbing at the water.
"What was that?"
Casey's eyes filled with fear. They heard it again. Such a sad sound, like a plea, a mournful plea.
It's coming from the basement," Margaret said. "Do you think it's a plant?"
Casey asked very quietly.
"Do you think it's one of Dad's plants?"
Margaret didn't answer. She crouched on her knees, not moving, just listening. Another moan, softer this time, but just as mournful.
"I don't think Dad told us the truth," she told Casey, staring into his eyes. He looked pale and frightened in the dim refrigerator light.
"I don't think a tomato plant would make a sound like that." Margaret climbed to her feet, collected the wet clumps of paper towel, and deposited them in the trash can under the sink. Then she closed the refrigerator door, covering the room in darkness. Her hand on Casey's shoulder, she guided him out of the kitchen and through the hall. They stopped at the basement door and listened. Silence now. Casey tried the door. It was locked. Another low moan, sounding very nearby now.
"It's so human," Casey whispered.
Margaret shuddered.
What was going on down in the basement? What was really going on?
She led the way up the stairs and waited at her doorway until Casey was safely in his room. He gave her a wave, yawning silently, and closed the door behind him. A few seconds later, Margaret was back in her bed, the covers pulled up to her chin despite the warmth of the night. Her mouth was still achingly dry, she realized. She had never managed to get a drink. Somehow she drifted into a restless sleep. Her alarm went off at 7:30. She sat up and thought about school. Then she remembered there was no school for the next 2 days because of some kind of teachers' conference. She turned off the clock radio, slumped back onto her pillow, and tried to go back to sleep. But she was awake now, thoughts of the night before pouring back into her mind, flooding her with the fear she had felt just a few hours earlier. She stood up and stretched and decided to go talk to her father, to confront him first thing, to ask all the questions she wanted to ask. "If I don't, he'll disappear down to the basement, and I'll sit around thinking these frightening thoughts all day," she told herself. "I don't want to be terrified of my own father. I don't." She pulled a light cotton robe over her pajamas, found her slippers in the cluttered closet, and stepped out into the hallway. It was hot and stuffy in the hall, almost suffocating. Pale morning light filtered down from the skylight overhead. She stopped in front of Casey's room, wondering if she should wake him so that he could ask their father questions too. "No," she decided. "The poor guy was up half the night. I'll let him sleep." Taking a deep breath, she walked the rest of the hall and stopped at her parents' bedroom. The door was open.
"Dad?"
No reply.
"Dad, are you up?"
She stepped into the room.
"Dad?"
He didn't seem to be there. The air in here was heavy and smelled strangely sour. The curtains were drawn. The bedclothes were rumpled and tossed down at the foot of the bed. Margaret took a few more steps toward the bed.
"Dad?"
No. She had missed him. He was probably already locked in his basement workroom, she realized unhappily. He must have gotten up very early and... What was that in the bed? Margaret clicked on a dresser lamp and stepped up beside the bed.
"Oh, no!"
she cried, raising her hands to her face in horror. The bedsheet was covered with a thick layer of dirt. Clumps of dirt. Margaret stared down at it, not breathing, not moving. The dirt was black and appeared to be moist. And the dirt was moving.
Moving?
It can't be, Margaret thought. That's impossible. She leaned down to take a closer look at the layer of dirt. No, the dirt wasn't moving. The dirt was filled with dozens of moving insects and long brown earthworms, all crawling through the wet black clumps that lined her father's bed.